us. Let's bow our heads and pray before we go into our time of praise and worship. Lord God, in Jesus' name, thank you, Father, so much for this day that you have made. Bless you, Lord, for your mercy endures forever. We thank you, Lord, that you are full of loving kindness and tender mercies. Lord, how would we ever face this journey without you? We were made to walk with you. We were made to bear your image as sons and daughters. We were made to worship. We were made to care for creation. We were made to multiply your goodness. What we do in this life matters. So, Lord, as we live this life, may we live it knowing your thoughts and your ways, which are above our thoughts and our ways. Change us from the inside out, Lord. We surrender to whatever you have planned for today, whatever you want to cultivate today, for you are the God who makes things grow. May all the heavens praise the Lord. Father, if there is anyone here today who needs healing, who needs restoration, who needs peace in a time of tumult, who needs encouragement, or anyone who is in that time right now, they're in a time of joy, we pray, Lord, bind us together, lift us up, pour into us your Holy Spirit afresh, and may we be sensitive with whatever you have for us today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Let's praise the Lord together.
The Lord, Almighty Ones, bless the Lord, you heavenly hosts, bless the Lord, all you his angels, and let all the earth sing forth his praise. Come on and bless him. Come on and praise his name. Come on and bless him. Come on and bless him. Come on and praise his name. Come on and bless him. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, Almighty Ones. Bless the Lord, you heavenly hosts. Bless the Lord, all you his angels, and let all the earth sing forth his praises. Come on and bless him, come on and praise his name, come on and bless him. Come on and bless him. Come on and praise his name. Come on and bless him. Come on and bless him. Come on and praise his name. Come on and bless him. Come on and bless him. Come on and praise his name. Come on and bless him. One more time. Come on and bless him. Come on and bless him. Come on and praise his name. Come on and bless him. Come on and bless him. Come on and praise his name. Come on and bless him. The Lord delights. For the Lord delights in showing mercy. For the Lord delights in showing mercy. For the Lord delights in showing mercy.
All right, here we go.
When I move my body, when I move my feet, when I open my mouth, then the darkness flees. When I move my body, when I move my feet, when I open my mouth, then the darkness flees. When I move my body.
blessing. Strongholds are coming down. Strongholds are coming down. Jesus is lifted high. 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 Jesus is lifted. Jesus is lifted high. 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 Just the voices. Jesus is lifted high. Jesus is lifted high. Jesus is lifted high. One more time. Jesus is lifted high. Jesus is lifted high. Jesus is lifted high. Let's lift up a shout of praise. Hallelujah.
Just a little while longer and I'll see you. Just a little while longer and I'll know you. Just a little while longer and we'll be together. Just a little while longer and I'll see you. Just a little while longer and I'll know you. Just a little while longer and we'll be together. soul sings, my soul sings, my soul sings, how I love you, my soul sings, my soul sings, my soul sings. Your heart and would you keep me here until we're one? Oh, all I want is just to know your heart and would you keep me here until we're one? My soul sings. My soul sings, how I love you. My soul sings, my soul sings, my soul sings, just for a little while.
It's just a little while longer and I'll see you. Just a little while longer and I'll know you. Just a little while longer and we'll be together. Just a little while longer and I'll see you. Just a little while longer and I'll know you. Just a little while longer and we'll be together.
As we continue to worship, may our soul give thanks to the Lord. May our soul give thanks because it's God, Jehovah Jireh. This name means the God who provides. So for those of you that the Lord has provided for, I want you to raise your hand in thanks to him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He will provide today and tomorrow and in the future. He grants deliverance from sin, the oil of joy for the ashes of sorrow, an eternal citizenship in his kingdom for those who are adopted in his household. Let's praise the Lord, Jehovah Jireh. We praise you, Lord. Let's also continue to praise the Lord because God is merciful. Yeah. Amen. God's merciful compassion is infinite and inexhaustible. There's no end to it. Through his provision in Christ, he took the judgment that was rightfully ours and placed it on his own shoulders. And he comes down every day and sends his mercy to us. Thank the Lord because he is merciful. Dear God, we praise you. We thank you for the mercy you have shown us, dear God, that you show us every day for everything. And we praise the Lord because he is God our Father. He's not just some superhero that came to save the day, but he is our Heavenly Father. We are called to pray to him, our Father. And the Spirit of God told us to cry, Abba, Father, which means Daddy, Father. And so we can go to him, and we can know that the Creator of the universe cares for each one of us as if we were the only child he had. So let's just pray to our Daddy, our Abba, Father, and we talk about getting closer to him. We are closer to our perfect Heavenly Father. Thank him for being your perfectly Heavenly Father. Not like our earthly fathers, perfect Heavenly Father. We praise you, we thank you, dear God, for being our Father. May we grow closer to you, dear Lord.
Your love has ravished my heart, taking me over, and all I want is to be with you forever, with you forever. Your love has ravished my heart, taking me over, taking me over, and all I want is to be with you forever, with you forever. So pull me a little closer, take me a little deeper. I want to know your heart, I want to know your heart, 'cause your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart, I want to know your heart, I want to know your heart. Your love has ravished me, your love has ravished my heart, taking me over, taking me over. And all I want is to be with you forever, with you forever.
Pull me closer,
so pull me a little closer, take me a little deeper. I want to know your heart, I want to know your heart, 'cause your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart, I want to know your heart. So pull me a little closer, take me a little deeper. I want to know your heart, I want to know your heart, 'cause your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart, I want to know your heart.
Come on, church, lift up your voice. I want to know your heart. Oh, 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 how great your love is for me. Oh, 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 how great is your love. Oh, oh, oh,
generosity, dear God, just how you gave your son, and that was the most valuable thing to give, is your son, your only son, dear God. So we thank you for your generosity. So as we get to know your heart, dear God, we pray over this house that we would all have the heart of generosity, dear God. As we prepare for worship, or for worship today, as we give financially, dear God, we just pray that you would just speak to us, dear God. 100% of ours, of what we have, belongs to you, dear God. If you guys could please just raise your, open your hands up to the Lord. Everything that we have is yours, Lord. And so today we pray, show us, dear God, what part of that 100% goes into this offering basket. And then just show us the rest, dear God, and where it goes and how it's used for your kingdom, dear God. I pray right now that the spirit of generosity would just fall on this place, dear God. And we know the tithe, the 10%, that number of testing, dear God. Today you say, test the Lord your God, dear God. And so we will test you by putting our money in, dear God. And we know that if we honor the Lord with our wealth and with the first fruits of our crops, then our barns will be filled overflowing, dear God. And we desire our lives to overflow, dear God. So today I pray we would be in a house that honors the Lord with our wealth, dear God. And we pray, dear God, for that new wine just to overflow in us, dear God. So right now, I want you guys to just ask the Lord, Lord, how much should I give for offering today? We have a few ways to give. You can give online, and we'll have the instructions here up on the board. So anytime the Lord leads, if you're here or at home, you can easily give through Easy Tithe. We also have envelopes in front of you. You can put a check or cash in there with your name on it or not. But today, let's give to the Lord. Let's thank him for who he is. Dear Lord, we give this offering to you today, dear God. Thank you for this building, dear God. Thank you that we can pay for the lights and the sound and for this building to be full, dear God. Thank you that we can pay for our pastors, dear God, to do all that they need to be able to do, dear God. Thank you that we can support the community, those in need, dear God. We thank you that we have the opportunity to support anyone that comes here that's in need, dear God, and to support our body, just to support those who have been through surgery, dear God. We praise you that we can use these finances to reach out to our community. We praise you so much, and we praise you, dear God, that we've been able to sow seeds into the nations, dear God, into over 5 countries, dear God. And so we know that this is good seed to sow, dear God. And we know that what we sow financially will reap, dear God. And so today we just pray for the harvest from this offering as we sow our money, dear God. May the harvest be great. May our barn be full. Let's receive the offering.
There's no one like you. We don't want a relationship that's not honest, Lord. Lord, we don't want to fight against the tide of your mercy. We want to come to you as we are, seeking all you are, God. And oh, how high would I climb mountains if the mountains were where you hide? And oh, how far I'd scale the valleys if you grace the other side. Oh, how long have I chased rivers from lowly seas to where they rise? Against the rush of grace descending from the source of its supply. 'Cause in the highlands and the heartache, you're neither more or less inclined. I would search and stop at nothing. You're just not that hard to find. Oh, I will praise you on the mountains. I will praise you when the mountains in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. So
I will praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows. No less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands and the heartaches all the same. Whoa, whoa. Glory, does your kindness extend the path from where your feet rest on the sunrise to where you sweep the sinners past? And oh, how fast would you come running just to shadow me through the night? You trace my steps through all my failures and walk me out the other side. For who could dare ascend that mountain, that valleyed hill called Calvary? But for the one I call Good Shepherd, who like a lamb was slain for me.
Come on, church.
Oh, I will praise you on the mountains. I will praise you when the mountains in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. So I will praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows. No less faithful when the leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands and the heartache all the same. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whatever I walk through, wherever I am, your name can move mountains. Wherever I stand, if ever I walk through the valley of death, I'll sing through the shadows my song of ascent. Whatever I walk through, wherever I am, your name can move mountains. Wherever I stand, if ever I walk through the valley of death, I'll sing through the shadows my song of ascent. We call grace, a mighty river flowing upward from a deep but empty grave. I will praise you on the mountains. I will praise you when the mountains in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. So I will praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows. No less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands and the heart is all the same. All the same. Whoa, whoa.
compassion of the Lord. Let's read Psalms 130. It says, out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I will wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from his iniquities. The mercy of God is great. Mercy just means his goodness, his kindness, his favor, his desire to help us in affliction, his compassion on us. And it says that his mercy endures forever. So what we're going to do, church, is we are going to focus on verse 7. Verse 7 says, O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. That unfailing love is the word mercy. And so what I want you to do is replace your name with Israel, because Israel is God's people. So it's O, your name. O, Brian. O, Angela. O, Hannah. Everybody here. Put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. We're going to spend some time soaking, allowing this verse to speak to you personally and all you're doing in life, whether it's a praise or a prayer or both, and those in your life too. Put their names in here and intercede for them. Let's spend some time just soaking on God's word.
Oh,
mercy's not running out. There's more than enough for me. Your mercy's not running out. Your mercy's not running out. Your mercy's not running out. There's more than enough for me. Your mercy's not running out. Your mercy's not running out. Your mercy's not running out. There's more than
how far I'd scale the valleys
If you grace the other side, and oh, how long have I chased rivers from lowly seas to where they rise against the rush of grace descending from the source of its supply. 'Cause in the highlands and the heartache, you're neither more or less inclined. I would search and stop at nothing. You're just not that hard to find. One more time, I will praise you. I will praise you on the mountains. I will praise you when the mountains in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. So I will praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows. No less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands and the heartache all the same. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Father God, we thank you so much that you are a graceful, abundant, loving, loving God. Lord, you are a good, good Father, Lord. We just thank you, God, for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, Lord, to make a way where we can have direct access to you. There's no in-between, God. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for sending your Son. As we continue in this attitude of worship, in a moment, I'm going to share two parables and a promise with you. Two parables and a promise with you. And those parables are in the context of a relationship with Jesus Christ, with Father God. And as we're all entering into this time of worship and the time of teaching, I want to ask you something. If you were to die today, do you know without any hesitancy that you'll spend eternity in heaven? And if you're like, whoa, I'm not there yet, here's some great news for you. God made a way for you to spend eternity with him through his Son, Jesus. He loved you so much that he sent his Son to die on the cross to make a way to have direct access to God. And when we admit that, yeah, God, we're sinners. And we believe that he died on the cross, not just something that happened, but for our sins to take them on. And if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we make him Lord of our life, then he is faithful to forgive us our sins. And then when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sins. He's forgotten them. They're separated as far as east is from the west. And that just keeps going. So that's the good news. So when I share these parables, that's the context of the relationship. So let's all close our eyes for a second here. If you're thinking to yourself, yeah, I have a little bit of a doubt. I don't know. I've never admitted that I'm a sinner and believed and then confessed with my mouth. If that is you, today is your day to make that confession. Don't wait another day. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. You have no guarantee of tomorrow. It is our position as staff here at Harvest to plead with you. Make that decision. Make that decision. Many of you have already done that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you haven't, and if you have, would you all say this prayer with me, okay? Just repeat after me. Father God, thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for my sin. Father God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe in your Son.
I believe in your Son.
And I confess, that He is Lord.
Over my life.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. If you said that for the first time, the scriptures teach us that there's angels in heaven that are rejoicing. Because guess what? Angels look at us, and when we worship, they rejoice. It says that angels go and look for those that are worshiping God. And one of those ways we worship God is by confessing that He is our Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. I'm going to share with you those two parables and then promise you can be seated. Go ahead.
You'll help me.
Here to hear what God has for you. And if that's not why you're here, guess what? You're going to hear what God has for you anyway. So would you raise your hands with me? Say a prayer with me. Father God,
teach me something
that I've never known before. It may get in my soul. So when I leave, it'll have an effect in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. So our pastor, Pastor Russo, and Chris are out of town on vacation, so they asked us to come and share the word with you this morning. My name is Brian. I'm associate pastor here along with my wife, Angela, who is leading us in prayer. Psalms 137 says, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for the Lord, with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him there is abundant redemption. With the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is abundant redemption. See, mercy and redemption are available because of who God is, His nature, His personality, just who He is. The scripture calls Him mercy, capital M. So let's praise God for who He is, not always what He can do for us. So would you repeat this with me? He is merciful.
He is merciful.
Loving.
Loving.
Faithful.
Faithful.
Righteous.
Righteous.
And just. And when you get that definition of who He is in your heart and really believe it, you suddenly your prayers start changing because you know that who He is does not change. We know that He is merciful, faithful, loving, righteous, He's just. Those are who He is, and that does not change. If you would, if you have a Bible, please turn with me to Luke chapter 11. I'm going to share something with you that's incredibly important, and it teaches us something about persistence and about prayer. Jesus had a couple things to say about prayer and persistence. We're going to read Luke 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 13. And then we're going to go back and look at what God has for us in each of those verses. So Luke chapter 11, starting verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Or, if they were in Florida, he would have said, Lord, teach us to pray. Come on, Jesus, just as John taught us his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, and we'll also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. And then verses 5 through 8 are the first parable I want to share with you this morning to explain how prayer works. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked. My children and I are in bed, and I can't get up and give you anything. Verse 8, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship. Everybody say, ouch. Yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Verse 9, so I say to you, Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door is opened. Verse 11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Father God, we just pray that you would reveal to us through this teaching, God, what you'd have us know this morning. Amen. So verses 5 through 6 in this parable, there is a man who has a friend. Everybody say, thank God he had a friend. Who has friends? Come on. Come on. You have a friend. I just saw somebody go like this to their neighbor. Like, I'm your friend? Come on. So the friend has 3 loaves of bread, and the man has no bread. Everybody repeat this after me. The man has a need. See, during this point in history, hospitality is incredibly important. And today, especially internationally, hospitality is very important, so much more than even in the U.S. It would have been very bad for this man to host his friend and not feed him. That would have been offensive. It would have been like somebody comes over to your house and you completely ignore them 100% the whole time. Very offensive. But the man had a need. He needed bread. Was it for himself? No. It was for his friend coming over. So the man had a need, but the need was for somebody else. Repeat this after me. The man had a need. The need was for someone else. So oftentimes your needs are for somebody else. What you actually need can be for somebody else. So this man, it's midnight, he's tired, he's distracted, he's relying on himself at this point. So he's like, no, I need to go and I need to ask my friend for bread. So he's desperate. It seems like he comes last to his friend because he's probably tried other things throughout the day, and now it's night, and he goes to his friend and asks, hey, do you have any bread? So he's pounding on the door, it's late. So say this after me. The man has a need. The need is for someone else. And it is a late hour. And in verse 7, and suppose the one inside says, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. See, so he's standing in front of a closed door. It's like us praying, and we're in front of a closed door. And it's like the answer seems to be no. Have you ever prayed something like that where you pray? It's late, you're desperate, you're in front of a door that seems to be shut, and the answer seems to be no. So what do? Repeat this after me. The man has a need. The need is for someone else. It is a late hour. He has been shut out. Everybody say, ouch. At this time in history, at this particular place, beds were lowered from the ceiling at night. So during the day, they would raise them up, have some extra room, and at night, they would close the door and then lower the bed. So literally, the bed would be in front of the door, and this man and his family were in the bed in front of the door. And so it was an incredible inconvenience for anybody to come late at night and ask for anything, because you'd have to kick everybody out of the bed, wake everybody up, all his kids would be screaming and crying, and then raise the bed, and then make the bread, and then give it to the man. So have you ever faced a closed door? So in this story, and in most parables, what you have to do to understand a parable, you have to understand what each character, what each person in the parable represents. So in this parable, the friend represents God. So repeat this after me. The man has a need. The need is for someone else. It is a late hour. He has been shut out with an answer that seems to be no. Verse 8, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Here's what I want you to know. Because of friendship, he didn't get the bread. Just because he's friends doesn't automatically mean he gets the bread. It's because of the scriptures teach us his shameless audacity. That means that because of his persistence, And this word persistence literally translated as shamelessness. Because of his shamelessness, he gets what he needs. And does he get like one or two loaves? No, verse 8, he gets as much as he needs. So repeat this after me. Again, the man has a need.
The man has a need.
The need is for someone else.
The need is for someone else.
It is a late hour.
It's a late hour.
He's been shut out.
He's been shut out.
With an answer that seems to be no.
Yet,
because of his bold persistence, his shameless audacity, he gets as much as he needs. Continual persistence was the reason. The man had a relationship, but it didn't get him what he wanted. But he persisted and got what he needed. Now, let's take that from the then and there to the here and now. What does he mean? Why did Jesus teach this parable? Because he wants us to know that your friendship with God oftentimes won't get you what you need. Bold persistence will. And it gets you as much as you need. You know, in the scriptures, bread often represents the body of Christ. And people need Christ. They need to be saved. Amen? People need salvation because the man was persistent, they were saved. So because he was persistent, knocking on his friend's door and not going away, he got as much bread as he needed. Not for himself, for somebody else, for his visitor. Verse 9, so I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be opened. In this verse, the verses 9 through 10 is better translated, everyone who asks and keeps asking. Everyone who seeks and keeps seeking. And everybody who knocks and keeps knocking. And the Greek word translated here conveys a sense of energy. Not just, God, I need bread. It's for somebody else. But what it conveys, and the meaning here is, God, I need bread for somebody else. It's late. I've been praying on this for a long time. God, I need you to come through. I need your help. Persistence. And keep on doing that. Friendship gave him access. Bold persistence gave him answers. So what have you been praying for? Maybe you've been praying over a long period of time for something, and oftentimes you give up. It's like, I prayed and nothing happened. It seems like I should stop praying. I want to encourage you this morning that God hasn't forgotten about your prayer. God hasn't forgotten about every single tear that you've shed. God wants you to persist, to keep going, to keep on praying. Verse 11, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God gave the Holy Spirit. And when you know God's true identity, as we repeated this morning, that he is merciful, he's faithful, loving, righteous, and just, that doesn't change. When you get that inside of you, that God is merciful, he wants to answer your prayer requests, he wants to heal you, he wants to restore families. When you get that in you, when you get his identity in you, you persist, you don't give up. You keep on going. And you know that his mercy, what does the scripture say, endures forever. Forever. So you persist forever. I was talking with a pastor in Uganda that was commenting on Americans. And he goes, you know, I really don't understand Americans. You pray for something and it doesn't happen, so you give up. And a lot of times you pray once, Father God, please heal. Amen. Done. And you give up. He said, well, me and our church, we pray a little bit differently. We pray over and over again. We keep on praying for somebody to be healed. Keep on, and if they get sicker, we just pray more. We keep on praying. We keep on praying. God, would you heal them? We believe in your scriptures that you healed everyone wherever you went. And when that person dies, then they start praying for them to be raised from the dead. They just keep on praying. They just keep on praying. And when that person's been put in the ground, in the grave, then they start praying for the next person to be healed. They don't skip a beat. They just keep on praying, persisting in prayer. So what's that thing that you've been praying for? I'd encourage you to keep on praying. And you're thinking, what if it's not God's will? What if I'm praying for something that's out of his will? I want to encourage you that if your heart is really in your prayer, then God changes your heart. And listen to me, He often changes your prayer too. So whatever it is, if it's coming out of a genuine heart, God will change that heart and He'll change your prayer. And you'll find yourself in the midst of it praying one way, and all of a sudden you switch and pray for another. So, friendship with God gives you access, but bold persistence gives you answers. Hebrews 4:16, and I'm reading from the NIV here. It says, "Let us approach God's throne with grace, throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." So go boldly before the throne of God. What does the scripture say? With shameless audacity. Oftentimes the problem isn't unanswered prayers. It's unoffered prayers. We don't have because we don't ask. Or we give up. When you know who God is, there's that He is abundant in mercy, you can confidently persist in prayer. The second parable I want to read to you, teach you on. So two parables and a promise. So we got one parable, we got a promise that His mercy is available for you. So Luke chapter 18. Many of you read this before, and I'm going to read it from the New American Standard Bible. Luke chapter 18, and it'll be on the screen as well. This is Jesus once again teaching a parable on how to pray. It says, "Now He was telling them a parable to show them that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, 'Give me legal protection for my opponent.' For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, 'Even though I do not fear God nor respect men, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for His elect who cry to Him day and night? And will He delay long over them? Yet I tell you that He will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth?'" And in verse 5 says, "She will wear me out." And I love the Greek definition of this. It means, a better translation, to give intolerable annoyance. To give intolerable annoyance. Another translation, it says, to wear one out by requests. It also means, and that word is loaded, it also means to beat as to cause bruises and black and blue spots on that part below your eye. So that judge was really worried that this woman would attack him and would just annoy him with requests, intolerable annoyance. And then Jesus switches it and says, "Hear what that judge said. How much more will God, who knows how to give good gifts, give to you for those who ask?" Then he asks the question, "But when Jesus returns, will He find anybody that has faith on earth?" So He knows that we need help. We need mercy. We need to persist. Because you know God's true identity, His mercy, you persist. So you keep on pressing towards His mercy. You know that His mercy endures forever. So you persist. That's why. You don't persist because, "Oh, well, I just feel like if I just say something that over and over again, that it will happen." No, you're persisting because you have faith and confidence that God's merciful and He answers you. And I have proof. In a moment, we're going to open up the altar and we're going to pray. We're going to have several times of invitation, and we'll open up this altar time for people to come and pray. It'll be a time just individually between you and God. No one will be laying on hands, but it'll be a time to persist in prayer for a few moments. Scripture gives us so many times when people cried out for mercy and He answered every time because of who He is. Jesus didn't hear the cry of mercy and go, "Well, I'm tired today. I really don't feel like it today. That's just not part of who I am." You see, we change. God doesn't. Even our personalities change sometimes. That's why it's so important that even in a marriage you re-get to know your spouse over the years, because we change. God doesn't change. He He's faithful throughout generations. So we know he's merciful then, he's merciful now. So I'm going to read some scriptures that are from the Gospels, which gospel means good news, where Jesus responded to people's cry for mercy, just like he's going to respond to your cry for mercy this morning as we answer the altar call. Matthew chapter 9 says, two blind men followed him crying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Matthew 15 says, a woman from Canaan cried out, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. Matthew 17, a father crying out for his son said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into fire and often into water. Matthew 20, two blind men sitting by the road who heard that Jesus was passing by cried out, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. And then in Mark chapter 10, we learned about this last week that Pastor Rob taught us. When Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out because he was blind. He said, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Luke chapter 17, there were lepers who lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And then in Luke chapter 18, a man in Jericho who was blind cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And that last one, there are those around him who said, who went before and warned him that he should be quiet, that when he cried out, that he should be, you know, hush, no, Jesus doesn't have time for you. But instead, what did he do? He cried out all the more. Because we learn that oftentimes religion says, shh, stop crying out, give up, stop persisting. You don't really know who God is. That's not what you're supposed to be praying. But religion tries to put condemnation on you and remind you of everything you've done wrong. But I want to tell you that in our house, in this house of prayer at Harvest Church, we're not going to tell people to be quiet who need mercy. We're going to do just the opposite. We're going to help them to the altar or stand at the altar in their place. Amen? Would you stand with me? We've learned what Jesus has taught us through these two parables, that there's a promise, that friendship gives us access. Bold persistence gives us answers. So I want to say to you this morning, don't give up. I want to encourage you, keep on praying. You can change the path of people's lives and your life. You can be healed. You can pray for people to be healed. These signs follow everybody who believes that they lay hands on people and they're healed. Every time. Amen? Father God, thank you so much, God, for your scripture that you've preserved over thousands of years for our benefit, Lord. We thank you, God, that there are many here who have been persisting in prayer and they feel like they have been shut out. They feel like they've had an answer that's no. But Father God, you are merciful. That's who you are. And so, God, we come to you and we ask for your mercy. Father God, have mercy on us. So maybe at one point you've persisted in prayer, but you've since given up. I want to ask you to join all of us at the altar. And don't delay. Maybe you're just tired and you've got to a point where you're like, okay, I can't do this by myself anymore. Maybe that altar call's for you. So come on up. This altar's open for you. And by just taking that step out in faith and coming to the altar, God is saying, I see you. I see you. Maybe you're just playing at wit's end. You don't know where to turn. You're like people on the side of the road that are like, God, have mercy on me. Nobody in this place is going to shush you. Come and receive that mercy. God wants it for you. And by stepping out, God's saying, you did a small act of willingness by just physically coming out. And it has consequences. God's saying, I see you. Stir up your boldness and go before the throne with confidence. Maybe there's things in your life that you're like, I don't really have confidence in that anymore. I've kind of given up on that. Maybe you also want to persevere in prayer for somebody else. So I want to say that this altar is open for you to come and stand in the gap for somebody else. and maybe there's a wayward son or daughter or family member that you've been praying for that needs you to stand in the gap, that needs you to step out and say, I'm going to pray for them and I'm going to persist for them. Maybe it's somebody that needs salvation. They need to know that Jesus is their Lord, like we prayed this morning before we started teaching. And you need to stand in the gap for that person. Maybe there's somebody who needs healing. Not just you, but maybe somebody else. Remember what the scriptures taught. This man had a need, and the need was for somebody else. Maybe you know somebody who has a need. It's not for you, it's for somebody else. So you're welcome to come on up and stand in the gap for them. Stand in their place. Maybe they're here, maybe they're not. Come on up and stand in the gap for them. For healing, for restoration. And invite you to join us. Maybe many of us have had family members who they need salvation. They need to believe in Jesus. And invite you to come to the altar and persist in prayer for their soul. Stand in the gap for them. Father God, we thank you for everybody that's come up just as a small example of the willingness to persist in prayer, whether it's for them or for somebody else who has a need. Lord, we thank you for their souls and for their willingness, God. God, we cry out, we say, we need your mercy, God. We need your forgiveness. We need your grace, God. We are broken, hurting people that are not capable of doing it on our own. God, and whether those are here that are here for themselves or for somebody else, God, we ask for your mercy on their life, Lord. As a symbol of our request to God, would you, those that are at the altar and out there in the chairs, would you raise your hands with me? Father God, I just thank you that you give mercy and abundance, Lord, that you see each and every person here. God, you see them. You see them, Lord. And you answer their prayers, Lord. God, give them perseverance that comes straight from heaven, Lord, to keep on praying, Lord. God, we know that as friends of you that we have access, God, so we boldly persist with shameless audacity and ask, God, for salvation for the lost, for healing for the sick, God, for healing for the brokenhearted, Lord, for direction, God, for wisdom, Lord. We cry out, have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy on us. Would you pray this with me? Father God, have mercy on us. You are a good Father, and you are merciful. Mercy is available for me. Mercy is available for my family. Mercy is available for the lost. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Father God. Amen. So those who have answered, those who have prayed, you can have confidence that God hears you. He's heard your prayer, and he's going to answer. Keep on persisting. If this is a start of that moment in prayer, keep on persisting. If you've given up, keep on persisting. If this is the point where you feel like, I'm done praying for that, keep on persisting. Keep on praying. If you're not writing those prayers down, start writing them down because they help you to remember to persist. You go back and go, yeah, I'm still praying for that. Don't forget, there's people who need salvation and